toleration be the love before pride and exaltation be the love be the love.
You are listening to Be the Love to awaken our souls. We are souls on the journey, and our mission is to awaken all humans to a higher state of consciousness and live vibrantly as spiritual beings. We are here to open up the conversation to heal, awaken, and connect ourselves and the planet to a higher vibration of love frequency. I am Stacey Musial.
And I am Brenda Carey. And we are your co-hosts at Be the Love podcast. Thank you for tuning in and ascending with us. It starts with you. Everything you need is within you. This is your time.
This is Adrienne Elise of the Supernova Soul Tribe.
This is Mia Tarduno.
This is Dig with Sacred Fire Arts. And you're listening to Be the Love Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Be the Love to awaken our souls. Thank you again so much for tuning in this week. I'm Stacey Musial.
And I am Brenda Carey with our special guest, Eileen Day McCusick. We are your co-hosts and souls on the journey, and we are on a mission to raise the consciousness of humans and the planet, and we need your help. Please spread the word to your family and friends and join us every week. And if you have resonated with our mission, support us in a way that raises your vibration to love.
And if it feels safe for you, I'd like to begin by inviting you to take a moment to get centered with us. I'd like to begin by inviting you to take a beautiful cleansing breath in through your nose and out through your mouth, releasing anything that is keeping you from being present. And take another deep breath in through your nose, breathing in calm, peaceful, loving energy. And breathing out anything you are ready to release in this now moment. And take one more breath in through your nose, breathing in light and love for yourself. And imagine breathing that light and love out and send it back to all of humanity, remembering that you always, always have your breath to come back to.
Our guest today is Eileen Day McCusick. Eileen is a pioneer in the fields of the human biofield, therapeutic sound, and electric health. A researcher, author, inventor, educator, speaker, and practitioner, Eileen has researched health since 1987, and specifically how sound impacts health. She is the originator of the sound therapy method called Biofield Tuning, with thousands of students trained worldwide, and the founder of the Biofield Tuning Institute. She is the author of two best-selling books, the award-winning Tuning the Human Biofield, Healing with Vibrational Sound Therapy, and Electric Body, Electric Health, a groundbreaking look at the electric nature of the human body, emotions, and life itself. Eileen is also the inventor of the revolutionary and much-loved tool, the Sonic Slider, the creator of a line of tuning forks and accessories, and the CEO of Biosona, which provides sound therapy tools and training globally. Her work has helped thousands of people around the world overcome chronic pain, anxiety, depression, and other health challenges, enabling them to live more fulfilling and empowered lives. Thank you so much for being here with us today, Eileen.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, so let's start off by telling us a little bit about your spiritual journey and just what has led you down this vibrational path.
Well, like most of us, I was raised in a secular education that conditioned me to be an atheist. And I came out of high school with that outlook, but soon discovered that something was missing, I think. And I've been a seeker of truth and light in my whole life, and discovered vibrational medicine in 1996, read a whole bunch of books on the topic, and really resonated with the idea that everything is fundamentally vibration. Things appear solid, like my Batman mug here, but they're not. They're really just fields of energy and information, as are we as humans. Really, everything is just sort of woven light, as I've come to understand. And so this idea that my body was a packet of energy and information, was vibrational in nature, made me realize that treating vibration with vibration made a lot of sense. And I went out and found as many books as I could on the topic back then in the mid-90s, so there wasn't a lot back then. And that led to purchasing a set of tuning forks that I got in a catalog after I kind of got through my stack of books. I got a Guyam catalog in the mail that had a set of tuning forks for healing in it, and I bought them. And I started using them in my part-time massage therapy practice and found them incredibly intriguing. And I'm one of those people that picks up a lot of things and puts them down in pretty short order. I get bored pretty easily. But this is my 28th year of using tuning forks. Mm. And they continue to amaze me, to teach me, continue to get new breakthroughs with them. Mm. And I will say from a spiritual perspective that what working with sound has really done for me is to get the noise out of my signal. Mm. And that has helped me to become a clearer channel for love, for truth, for living that in my body, for having that in my thoughts and my feelings and my heart. It's been very clarifying. It's been very purifying. And it's been really good for my health too. Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's been a great honor to develop this work and to share it with others.
Mm. Thank you so much for sharing. And yes, I've been using tuning forks, and I read your book, Tuning the Human Biofield, many, many years ago. And it's definitely had a very impact on my life, as well as people I also work with, using that when I integrate that into my work. And so I'm wondering, I'd love to just jump in and talk about what is the human biofield? How can we tune into that to create health?
Sure. Well, I've come to see what we call our biofield as our body's electrical system. Early on, I think that the term was coined in order to give a scientific definition to the field of energy that surrounds and interpenetrates the body, which according to science may or may not exist. According to many people, it's pseudoscience. The aura or the human energy field sort of dismissed in our culture. We're sort of trained to be very skeptical about that. But what I discovered with the tuning forks is that our body has an electrical system in its entirety that we don't learn about. And it's one of those places where we're missing the forest for the trees. Most people recognize that an EKG is measuring the electrical pulsations of the heart, and then an EEG is measuring the electrical activity in your brain. A lot of people realize that our blood carries a charge. Some people know that our bones are piezoelectric, and they actually make electricity when we compress them, why bouncing and dancing and that sort of thing is energizing, running. even our fascia is like a semiconductor. It's moving light and vibrational signals all through our body. And what this all points to is the fact that we have electrical current running through us. And this is what determines whether you're alive or dead. And you're alive, your light is on, your electrical current powering you, powering your thoughts, your feelings, your emotions. When you die, your light goes out. That electric current's no longer running. We actually get most of the electricity that we run on from our breath, not from food, right? Because people can go for weeks without food, days without liquids, but you can only go a few minutes without breath. And that's because we live in an electrical environment, a magnetic plasma. Why people like going to the beach? Because it's more of an ionized environment that charges up our electrical system. Why we need the sun. because it charges up our electrical system. And anything, and this is something we all learned in grade school, that anything that has an electric current running through it has a magnetic field around it. And that's just a basic law of science that everyone has learned at some point or another. So our human body is no different. We have electrical current running through us and we have a magnetic field around us. And this is measurable. In fact, they developed a device back in the 40s or 50s called a squid magnetometer that could detect the magnetic field of the heart from 12 or more feet away. So we know that this exists, but the recognition of it, the understanding of it hasn't been taught to us. We've been really enculturated to look at ourselves and life chemically and mechanically, and the light is missing from that cosmology. I think so many of us that are seekers of truth and light are pleasantly surprised and delighted to discover that our light body is actually biological and electrical. Mm. And so I would say the biofield is what we would call mind. It's our conscious mind. It's our subconscious mind. It's where our memories are. I would even go far as to say that it's the same thing we call our soul, because when you die, your light goes out and takes all the information that was recorded in your electrical system throughout your life with it. And light can't be created or destroyed, right? So it's an aspect of us that's absolutely eternal.
That so resonates with me. There's so much truth and beauty and practicality. I love that. I love how we can, you know, marry the two of like the spiritual and also the science or the electrical behind it. And I have a background in music. Actually, my degrees are in music. So I'm very familiar with that energizer, the uplifting energy that we get from listening to beautiful music. I even have a physical response, like I'll get goosebumps or something when I listen to beautiful music. I'm curious though, in terms of like specifically the tuning forks with which you work, how are the tuning forks a bit different or the same as opposed to like when someone listens to music, it can be very therapeutic. How do the tuning forks specifically with their certain frequencies and hertzes, how does that affect our energetic health?
Well, we all are moved by music, right? We can be moved to tears. We can be moved to dance. I mean, anywhere Michael Jackson starts playing, like, yeah. I just can't stop dancing.
Absolutely.
Dancing down the halls of the Megamart. So a tuning fork is an instrument and it moves us the same way that sound moves us, that music moves us. I've just figured out a way to make it move us very specifically. So a vibrating tuning fork acts with the body like a mirror. So your body is continually giving off vibes, right? And we've all had the experience of getting a good vibe off somebody or a bad vibe off of somebody. And that's because our body gives off vibes. And everything in your body is in motion, your thoughts, your feelings, your heartbeat, your organs, everything's in motion. And everything in motion makes waves, and waves propagate, and they propagate through our electromagnetic atmosphere. And we pick them up. But these vibrations are very, what we call very high frequency and very low amplitude. So we can't hear them. But the neat thing about a vibrating tuning fork is that it produces many overtones and undertones. And these go outside the range of our hearing. And the waves coming off of our body intersect the waves coming off of the tuning fork. And at those very high frequency, very low amplitude places, there's an intersection of those waveforms, and the information that is coming off the body actually precipitates down through the octaves into the hearing range. So if somebody has pain in one shoulder and not in the other, I will hold a tuning fork over the shoulder that has pain and it will go sharp. You know, if they have sharp pain, if that's the nature of their pain, it might go dull and heavy. And if I hold it over their other shoulder, that's fine. It'll just sound like a normal tuning fork, because it's intersecting the waves. It's sort of a magical invisible ink decoder almost that allows me to hear the unheard and see the unseen in people. So it acts like a mirror in that it helps me to find areas of dissonance or disturbance, it will initially resonate with whatever distortion is present. But then the beauty of physics is that a strong coherent signal will overtake and entrain a weak incoherent signal. So the tuning fork has the ability to entrain or move the body into a more coherent expression, which usually involves some kind of relaxation. That's really the primary thing that this work does, is it helps us to relax subconscious tension and breathe more freely so that we have better circulation of blood, of fluids, of air through our body. When we're very tense, it leads to all kinds of difficulties. In fact, I've come to the conclusion that most of the things that we suffer from are actually tension-based. You know, there's a lot of people who want to blame things on toxins, but if your system is relaxed in the right ways, your ability to process toxins is a lot easier. Your metabolism can work through stuff. And just for an example, I've discovered that people who sequester heavy metals, right? Because we're all exposed to heavy metals. We've all been exposed to heavy metals. Why do some people end up burdened with them and others don't? And the personality type that sequesters heavy metal has a tendency to hold back anger. Think about that feeling of getting really angry and then holding it in. You're creating tension across all the membranes in your body, which makes it very hard for the body to move things like heavy metals through, right? Yeah, depression could be considered a kind of heavy tension. Anxiety is tension in all the wrong places, kind of running around in you. Really, most things you can think of, high blood pressure, I mean, you know, just start naming them and you can see the pattern of tension. That's very often a trauma response from childhood. We recoiled from some non-beneficial input, and then that pattern of tension just lives on. So the tuning forks help me to find places that are kind of bunched up or jammed up and stay in them. It acts like a metronome in that it's producing that steady, coherent rhythm. And then somewhat amazingly, it also acts like a magnet, so that I can find, let's say you have a lot of pain in the shoulder, you've got too much electricity running through the wire, so there's going to be additional magnetic energy there too. And I can use the tuning fork to actually, I call this click, drag, and drop. The combination of the vibrating tuning fork in my mind can hook into or click on that pattern of energy and actually drag it to the midline of the body and drop it. It's kind of like a chiropractic adjustment in a way. And what that does, because magnetic fields guide and inform electric currents, when we shift or adjust the magnetic field, it changes the way electricity is flowing through the body. Very often, we can have people very high on the pain scale and get them very low on the pain scale in pretty short order by adjusting their magnetic field.
Thank you for sharing that. I think that, you know, it sounds like there's just, it's a very intuitive process, but it's also, there's a lot of patterning. So you, as you've been doing this work, that different patterns are showing up in different ways, and you're able to really feel into that.
Mm-hmm. In the beginning, it really was intuitive, especially when I started investigating the field. Because for 15 years, I only worked like right over the body, 10 years, something like that, 10 years, 96 to 2006, I just worked right over the body and I moved loud spots. I find loud spots and like move them to the middle of the body. But then one day I found a loud spot completely by accident, about 2.5 feet off of somebody's neck. And it was sort of perplexing, and I wasn't sure what to do with it, but I'd developed this practice of moving everything to the midline. And so I clicked in that loud spot and I dragged it to the middle, which felt very odd to do. But the next day, this person called me because she'd really been suffering from pain and a sense of pulling in her jaw, down her neck and into her shoulder. And she'd had many different kinds of treatments. She'd been to a chiropractor, acupuncturist, osteopath, and nobody had been able to fix it. And she said to me that all the pain and pulling was gone from that very strange thing that I did. And so after that, I started investigating the atmosphere around the body. And yes, through pattern recognition, discovered what I call the biofield anatomy map, that I essentially mapped the magnetic bubble and discovered that it's where our memories live, and that we can access very specific memories in very specific locations. And now it, you know, anybody can learn it because you don't need to know what you're encountering. You can just plot it on the map. And then it ends up being like you find some stuck energy, you know, maybe 3 feet off of the left shoulder. This is where sadness tends to get stored, off the left shoulder. And if the person you're working with is 50 and you find it about 3 feet away, because our field extends about 6 feet on either side, sort of front and back. If somebody's 50, then that will be something sad that happened when they were around 25. Because as we generate information, it moves away from us. So I find information current, memories that are current or recent, close to the body, gestation and birth at the edge of the field. And then everything else, moving a tuning fork through a field is like dropping a needle on an album and reading the vibrational record of somebody's life. There's a whole language of vibration. To me, it's like a sonic braille that I kind of learned over time.
Sonic braille, that's a fascinating concept. And you have a tuning fork called the sonic slider, which I don't have one yet, but I am familiar with. And I'm curious, with the sonic slider, what's the importance of using the Earth's frequency for healing, which I believe is called the Schumann resonance? Am I correct?
Yeah. So the Earth has a field, and it has a baseline frequency that runs in it. It's around 7.83 hertz. That's our brainwave in an alpha brainwave state, a kind of quiet listening state. And the very first fork I created based on the Schumann resonance was, you can't make a tuning fork that's 7.83 hertz. It would be like 4 feet long. The lowest frequency weighted fork that you can make is about 25 hertz. So I decided to make some multiples of it. And the first one I created was 7.83 times 8, which is 62.64 hertz. And at that time, I'd been using a 128 hertz fork. It's kind of a standard weighted fork that a lot of people get started with. But what I found using the Schumann fork was that it really seemed more intelligent. The sound seemed to go into the body and like find its way to what was needed, whereas the 128 was just kind of like, you know, wherever it was. But there was this kind of intelligence and receptivity of the body to that frequency. So I ended up over the years creating a variety of prototypes, the 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, and 14th harmonics, and really loved the 12th. Like that's the sonic slider is 93.96 hertz. All frequencies are not created equal. Like we found that the 11th was really deadening. It just made you like really tired. And the 13th was really neurotic and like kind of all over the place and didn't feel good. But when you put the sonic slider on you, like it just feels good. And it has sort of a universal appeal that people find that makes you want to rub it on yourself, which is what I created with a really long handle. So you can activate it and slide the handle, kind of like dry brushing where people, you know, move energy towards the heart and it gets the lymph and blood and everything moving. That's what the sonic slider does. And people have discovered all kinds of uses for it. It's the sort of thing that belongs in an at-home first aid kit, because it's good for if you're feeling stressed, it can settle you down. If you're in pain, it can help to relax you. People have discovered that they've improved their digestion and their food sensitivities with it, because it adds tone and rhythm to the digestive tract and strengthens it. It helps people to after workouts to feel better. So it's got a lot of uses and just feels great. It just feels great, you know, and actually cats love it, which to me, they're very vibrationally discriminating animals. And most cats will line up for their sonic slider treatment.
Beautiful. Thank you. I'm curious. I would love to hear about ancestral rivers that you talk about in your book, and you you know, you talk about how we come in with different things like depression and anxiety, other blockages, and how our DNA is just as much vibrational as it is chemical. And so I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about this and where you notice the ancestral rivers and how far away from the body you find this and how we can help release that music. I believe you call it that inner song, right? From like what is ancestral versus what is ours, and then the importance of really releasing our ancestral lineage or the ancestral traumas that get passed down.
I wouldn't say that we release them per se so much as we transmute them, tune them, right? Because what you get is what you get. You can't get rid of it, but you can improve it. You can clean it up. I first discovered the ancestral river on the left side of the body, just off the heart. And it took me a little while to understand what it was, but it really feels like a current. So there are two, they run about 10 inches off of our body, like rivers. And when you stick a fork in it, you really do feel the current, you feel the flow. The one on the left side relates to the information we receive from our mother. The one on the right side relates to our father. But in the beginning, I could only feel the one on the mother's side. And I remember thinking that maybe that's the only one that's there because it's my understanding that we receive our mitochondrial DNA from our mothers. So we get maybe more genetic information from the mother's lineage than the father's. But then in time, I discovered that there was one on the father's side too, and that it wasn't just accessible at the heart, but actually ran all the whole length of the body. So upstream is above your head, and that's where information comes from and flows into us. And then our descendants are in the river as it passes us down below our feet. And when you stick a fork in the river, you can hear the story or the song of that lineage. For example, if a man comes from a lineage of alcoholics, that river feels and sounds very turgid. It feels churny and dissonant. Because with things like alcoholism, problems don't get solved, right? They just keep on going downstream. And I think there's a great many people who are incarnated at this time who came here to clean up their lineages. You know, people would come into my office. I had an office in the middle of nowhere in the mountains of Vermont, a really small town, no sign on the door. And people would come in and they'd say, "I'm here to clean up my ancestral lineage." I'd say, "Well, you come to the right place. Like, I don't know how you found me," but that's one of the things we do here. And it is. There's been a lot of corruption in our bloodlines from being raised in captivity for generations, generations of warfare, generations of poverty and alcoholism, you know, addiction. There's a lot of junk. I often ask people in classes that I teach, whose parents demonstrated emotional functionality and good communication skills? And nobody ever raises their hands, right? We really, many of us who desire coherence and high functioning didn't have anyone to show us that, and are using the resources that are available now to create that in ourselves so that we can pass that on. I'm sure many of your listeners say that. I call us the karmic cleanup crew. And I think that, you know, it's very important work that's getting done right now. So I'm always curious about these features that I find in the field and if they are mirrored or reflected in any other traditions. And recently I connected with a teacher from Peru, from a long tradition of shamanism in the Sacred Valley of Peru, a fellow by the name of Puma. And I explained to Puma the ancestral rivers and asked him if you know, they had that in their cosmology. And he said, yes, and it's represented as someone holding two staffs. And the staff on the left is a snake with two heads, and it represents the feminine and the fact that the female can grow another in their belly, right? And there's that extra genetic material from the mother, right? The two-headed snake. And then on the father's side, it's a puma. And I saw some art rendering of somebody holding these two staffs, and they are holding them exactly where the ancestral rivers are. which I found really interesting.
Yeah, so affirming, oh, right? Yeah. That some of our ancient wisdom teachers knew this information, but it was just on a different level or different vocabulary, but it was still underneath there. So I love that. I definitely think there are other situations of that where the shamans and the medicine men and women, they knew these ancient teachings before we did.
Yeah. Well, and it was really interesting to see the other crossovers with the Peruvian perspective, that they see us in an energy bubble, which is, you know, completely what I found. Like, we're in this kind of light bubble with a membrane, and they talk about heavy energy versus light energy, mm-hmm. which is also what I discovered in this work. There's no negative or positive. There's energy that's heavy, you know, and we all have our baggage that we carry around, and maybe it was inherited, maybe it was from our own life. The number one word that people use when they describe how they feel after a session is lighter. Because we are alchemizing, transmuting this heavy energy into light energy. Mm. And the more sessions you get, you become lighter and lighter and lighter. You become more and more grounded at the same time, which is a really interesting combination.
Mm. Yes. And I'm curious too, like, as you know, as we are doing the work and we're becoming lighter and lighter, talk a little bit about, you know, what this, the connection between, you know, becoming lighter, maybe being in a love vibration, love energy, and a healthy biofield, and what this might look like for us as we're moving forward.
Sure. I don't see love as being higher per se. You know, because when we talk about like raising vibration or raising the vibration of love, then we're kind of demonizing lower frequencies, right? Mm. And the fact of the matter is that we need the whole spectrum of experience of being human. Mm. We need to feel shame, right? You have no shame, you might be really sloppy or reckless or rude or whatever, right? So this idea that we don't want to feel like negative or low emotions, I don't think it's healthy. We're not Buddha. We're not Christ. We don't need to be. Right? We're human beings in a difficult time in the world, and we're going to feel the whole spectrum of human emotions. And I think it's important that we give ourselves permission mm-hmm. to be human and to feel all the feels. Rage is okay. Hate is okay. Right? I hate getting cold. I hate it. And because I hate getting cold, I always make sure I have an extra layer with me. I make sure everybody around me has an extra layer on them. And so there are certain emotions that I find that people are very reluctant to admit they feel because they think it's not spiritual or something. But our emotions, just like our feeling senses, you touch something hot, you know that you should stay away. Our emotions are the same way. They're designed to keep us healthy. It's super important that we feel them. But as far as like a baseline goes, I think the state that we're really looking for is clarity and coherence, because nature is clear and coherent. You know, nature is perfect. It is not lying. It is not in falsehood. It is in truth. And one of the things that I saw in Peru was this ancient Incan architecture that is built in such a way that when there are earthquakes, it kind of rocks and rolls with the earth, right? It's in accordance with natural law. It's built with that. So being in a state of love is being in accordance with natural law, being in accordance or harmony with nature, and recognizing that there is no separation, that I am that, right? That everything is God, everything is light, it's all one, and it's all fundamentally coherent. It hangs together. And that's a state that we expand into, right? We don't go up. This sort of idea that we're raising just limits us into like this kind of hierarchical up-down movement. But as we heal and we become lighter, we expand into our potential. We expand into connection. And this is where abundance lives, is in this feeling of connection with others, with nature, with God, right? And that's something we expand into, and we want to do that with clarity. We want to find the sweet spot of our authentic vibration. and live from that. And the coherent emotions are gratitude, love, appreciation. But we can't always be in those places because we're human and we're going to have our salty, tired, fussy, difficult moments. And it's really important that we don't judge ourselves for when we're not in those coherent states, but we seek to cultivate them as a baseline to return to.
It's so interesting. You must have ESP because I was just going to read a short quote from your book and I had underlined it and put a bunch of stars next to it because I'm like, I have to ask her about this. And it literally is, you say in your book, it isn't so much about raising our vibration, but rather clarifying our vibration, finding our vibrational sweet spot, and raising the overall voltage of the battery that is our body. And like I had mentioned before we hit record, this is my reread of this book. And that didn't stand out to me. But this time, this is why I need to reread books more often. This time I'm like, oh, that really stands out. Because we talk a lot about on the podcast within myself, you know, raising our vibration. And I really like your nuance of it's clarifying our vibration. So my question is going to be really practical. So I love the philosophy of that idea and the sweet spot. How do we get there? Yeah. Like, we know that so many people are struggling. It is a hard time with all the mental health issues. And I mean, I won't go into details, but I feel like it's very alive. And so for someone to hear those words, what could you give as like practical advice on like, how do you get to the sweet spot?
Well, one really simple way to do it, and this is something that I really live my life by, and is that when you feel into doing anything, whether it's an idea that you have or somebody asking you to do something, what's the feeling that's there? Is it, ah, is it a lifted, like, ah, yes, or is it an ugh, right? And I think so many of us have been conditioned to do what feels ugh, right? Out of guilt, sure. Out of obligation, out of not worthy, whatever. You know, it's your life. And obviously, you know, there's people who are in positions of caregivers or caretakers. Like, I've been there, I've taken care of little kids, I've taken care of aged parents, I've taken care of businesses. I certainly know the restrictions that can be there, but can you get your ahs where you can? And the more that you say yes to ah and no to ugh, then you start to raise your battery, you start to raise your voltage. Can you speak your truth? Very often our emotions get suppressed, our truth gets suppressed, our desires get suppressed, our requests for help get suppressed. Many people put up and shut up and they don't express themselves authentically. Like, being authentic and doing it in a way that's kind, that's constructive, that's diplomatic, that's effective is something that is also going to start to give you that lift and open. Many of us hide behind false fronts and feed false fronts, you know, out of a desire to protect ourselves. But I really encourage people to be audaciously authentic in their expression, you know, vulnerable and true, but keeping it kind. I think a lot of times there's this association with speaking your truth is mouthing off and not caring what anybody thinks, but I don't subscribe to that. I think it's important that we master successful diplomacy in our expression of truth. You know, don't lie. Don't lie about anything. Don't, not even the little text like, oh, I can't make it because this white lie. Don't. Just stay in your integrity. It's also really important that your body is in alignment. I'm a huge fan of quality chiropractic care, because if your skeletal system is out of alignment, you're going to lose a lot of energy right there. And so I would absolutely encourage anybody suffering from aches and pains who has not been to a chiropractor to find a good one and make that investment in that kind of care. And certainly, you know, I'm a huge fan of singing, of toning. Yeah. I think that music is one of the best medicines. I think singing together with other people is fantastic, or making music. I just had one of my best friends just died on Sunday. And I've been, you know, because grief can be very deflating, right? I think everybody knows that feeling of grief and how it just makes you deflate and not want to do anything and lose your oomph. Singing can reinflate you. And, you know, that is some really, really good medicine. And I think medicine we're going to need more and more.
Yes, thank you for sharing that. I think, I'd love to hear more just about, you know, that the power of our voices and how we can use them to really heal.
I just started in the last few years a new program that I do with two Australian brothers, Isaac and Torl Korn. And this was a completely accidental project. It was not intended at all. I signed up with them to overcome my fear of singing in front of people. And they take people on what they call a songwriter's journey, where they co-write and record some songs with you to help you over that hump, which was, I don't have a lot of fears, but that was a really big one in my life, was feeling safe singing in front of people. And I was supposed to go back to their studio for a recording, but COVID happened and I wasn't able to. And we kept meeting through Zoom. And somehow or other, and I don't even really remember how this happened, but this whole body of work downloaded itself through us. We actually felt like we were remembering it together. And what it is, is it's a series of 40 different sounds that resonate in different places in the body. And a lot of them are baby sounds. It sounds like goo and ga and gi and ma and pa and wa, fa, da. But we discovered through consensus that specific tones resonated in specific areas. And we teach a workshop called Sing the Body Electric, where we do a combination of tuning and breathing, and then these toning exercises. And what they do, you know, when a baby is exploring their acoustic instrument and making a sound like goo, there's no inner division, right? There's no part of that baby's consciousness that's on the outside looking in and judging. It is an experience of complete wholeness. And so when we go back to making sounds like this and we give ourselves permission that it doesn't have to be in any kind of key or pitch, it doesn't have to sound good, we can just make sound for the experience of making sound, and we can feel it, like goo resonates in the spine and you can move the sound up and down the spine. Ghee resonates in the nerves that come off the spine, and you can sort of play with that, right? And we have the whole body map, the feet, the legs, the organs. And when you spend an hour making these sounds, you feel so much better afterwards. You feel high, you feel energized, you feel alive. You've got your breath moving, you've got your blood moving, and you've had an experience of yourself as a unified being making sound, if that makes sense, right? Because many people aren't free to enjoy their singing voice because they're split and in judgment. It doesn't get to be as healing as you want it to be because you're experiencing this inner division, right? Health is wholeness. So having this experience from the inside out of massaging and energizing yourself with unjudged sound is incredibly healing. And it improves people's singing voices too. It gives them more confidence and more enjoyment, more play with their human instrument. Instead of trying to sound and look good, they just get to feel good with that play.
Yeah, I have shared on the podcast and also with some of my clients that really singing was an integral part of my healing journey through an autoimmune condition. And it's making those sounds without the judgment and criticism of like, well, does this sound quote unquote good? Does this sound like it's in pitch? And once we get past those stories about what a voice should sound like, then it actually does become a healing medicine, our own voice, and speaking our truth to ourselves, especially with kindness. Part of my journey was recognizing the negative self-talk that just lowered my vibration and made me feel heavy, and to lighten that with my own sound, even if it didn't make sense. So thank you for sharing that. I think that will resonate with a lot of our listeners. I know it did for me.
Yeah. You know, autoimmune, I mean, this is something that I really discovered when I used to have a full-time practice and work with many clients. I found that pretty much everybody who came in and told me they had an autoimmune disease had a really unkind inner critic in their head,
Absolutely.
and that they were suffering from this inner division of the critic and the criticized and the judge and the judged. And there was this continual war going on inside. It's not like the body attacking itself, it's a mind attacking itself. And that is no bueno. It's not necessary. It's not necessary. I talk about how you can fire the inner critic and hire an inner coach. And the inner coach wants you to be the best version of yourself, but they're going to be constructive. They're going to be funny. They're going to be kind. They're going to be loving, right? And there's no, absolutely no need to indulge negative and unkind thoughts in your head at all. It's very bad for you. So I'm so glad that you were able to figure that out and to heal that.
Yes. Yeah, it was definitely sound was just a game changer, all types of sound, but my voice definitely was a crucial piece of that healing. So, well, it's been such an enlightening conversation. I would like to give you the opportunity as we wrap up just to tell our listeners where they can find you and anything you're currently working on that you'd like to share.
Well, we have a website, biofieldtuning.com. And we have biofield tuning practitioners all over the world. Everyone is trained to do the work over Zoom, as hard as that might be to believe. We actually have published research in peer review about a study we did where people received one biofield tuning session a week for 3 weeks over Zoom. And everyone came into this study with clinical anxiety and everyone left without it over Zoom, right? So we know that music, you can watch a video on YouTube and be moved by it. Right. I mean, obviously, we all love live music, but a recording can also be really moving. And so this kind of fits in that category as well. So you can find a practitioner. I have a line of very high quality American made tuning forks. If you want to start exploring tuning forks, I have a bunch of audio recordings of sessions that I've conducted. And there's a handful of free ones. So you can check those out. I also have a YouTube channel. It's just my name. You go to YouTube, search my name, and you'll find that. And there's quite a lot of videos there that go deeper into explaining biofield tuning. I did a series called Sonic Sundays that it's 20 free biofield tuning sessions and talks about different topics. So that's available. And singthebodyelectric.com is where you can go and learn about. We've got some upcoming in-person programs this summer and fall, and we also teach that virtually. So information can be found there too.
Well, thank you so much. And we'll absolutely add all of those links to the show notes so listeners can easily find those as well. And thank you so much, Eileen, for being here today. It's been an absolute honor and pleasure to have you in this beautiful conscious conversation.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And thank you for listening to Be the Love podcast. If you've enjoyed listening to our show, please share the love by sharing it with your family and friends, giving us a 5-star written review on iTunes and Spotify, or liking us on Facebook. And please consider supporting our mission to awaken our souls with a monthly donation that helps us with the operating costs of this podcast so we can continue to spread the love. To contribute, please visit our Patreon website at patreon.com/ Be the Love podcast. And stay tuned for more episodes being released on Mondays at 5:55 a.m. Mountain Time.
Thank you, Heather Lynn, for providing us with your beautiful song to accompany our show, Be the Love. If you would like to learn more about Heather Lynn and her music, please visit her website at heatherlynnmusic.com. And thank you, Christy Grace at Leading Edge Productions, for the beautiful design and graphic.
And thank you for tuning in. And until next time, we are souls on the journey to align to our divine purpose and shine our lights. So keep on shining.